The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and this is the woo-woo-hoo emergency. Doug Marrone is fired by the Jaguars podcast. Joining me to break it down and talk all things Jaguars, John Breach. What's up, buddy?
Brinson, this is our special now, the Black Monday special. We already did Adam Gase. Now we're getting Doug Marrone and Debo's fantasy today because now we're down to one Doug coach in the NFL.
Oh, that's right. There all two Dougs in her. Only one remain. Doug Peterson blew Doug Marrone away with his tank. Anyway, the Jacksonville Jaguars released a statement about, it's funny. It's not funny. Somebody lost their job. So we're not laughing, but Doug Marrone is wealthy beyond his wildest dreams. So, he can buy all the baloney he wants. He's not going to suffer. Of course, there is nothing funny about somebody losing their jobs, but, a couple of notes on this. One, the Jaguars tweeted out a statement from owner Shad Khan at 9:08 a.m. on Monday. And we had talked about this before, in preparing, for these podcasts. And we were saying how the Jaguars are a early Monday firing team. Like that's just how they like to fire people. And as Debo points out, they had lots of practice. You can kind of gauge when various teams will do this breach, right? Like the Chargers, if they fire Anthony Lynn, we'll do it on, at like
late afternoon. They're on Pacific time. Nobody's waking up early to fire anyone. And that was the whole conversation where if the Steelers were to fire someone, Mike Tomlin was obviously not on the hot seat, but they haven't fired anyone or they don't fire anyone. So you have no idea when the Steelers would let go of a coach, but Jacksonville, 8 a.m. sharp, the Chargers late afternoon. They're the teams that regularly fire people have their formulas and we know those formulas. We're on to you guys.
Yeah. Like if the Chargers were smart, they would fire their coach at 6 a.m. East Coast time. Nobody would know it. It's like 3 a.m. on the West Coast. Anyway, Shad Khan said, I am committed and determined to deliver winning football to the city of Jacksonville, realizing that goal requires a fresh start throughout our football operations. And with that in mind, I spoke this morning with Doug Marrone to express my gratitude for his hard work over the past 4 years seasons as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'll always appreciate Doug's passion, grit, and class. And I'm confident he will enjoy success in the next chapter of his career. Yada, yada, yada. We're going to keep looking for, although it was interesting. He said, as the search for our new general manager continues, now the quest begins to find a head coach who shares my ambition for the Jacksonville Jaguars and our fans whose loyalty and faith are overdue to be rewarded. I don't find any of that to be incorrect. What I find interesting about it, is that it doesn't appear that they're necessarily going to go find a GM and then find a coach. Like, I don't think we know exactly how the Jaguars plan to do that. They've blended it in the past and I don't want to knock on the Khan family here, but they went out and they had Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley and then they fired Gus Bradley. They keep Doug Marrone. They bring in Tom Coughlin to help out Dave Caldwell. They've allowed sort of a Brownsian power structures to take place where it's very uneven. Like the Jets, Browns and Jaguars all have that in common. There's no, if you're going to row a boat, if you're going to put two dudes in a canoe and row a boat, do you want them rowing in the same direction, Breach, or different directions? And they haven't done that.
Well, it depends on the size of the lake, but I get what you're saying.
I guess if it's a circular lake, you want to go around.
And, the Jaguars have been running in circles for the past, their whole existence. But maybe Khan doesn't want to kind of say he's going to go either way because he wants to leave that open because it does feel like they're kind of learning from their mistakes. At least I think they are. And that's tough to say since they've only had one playoff appearance since 2008, where they're sitting back and saying, if we bring in a guy like Matt Rhule, if we bring in a college guy, we want to give him all the power. We need to hire the general manager second. But if you also want, you have the number one overall pick that seems like a slam dunk, you know what you're going to do. But you also have 11 picks in the draft. So you have 10 other picks you have to figure out what to do with. So it's not just the number one overall pick you're going to worry about. And in that case, maybe you want a personnel guy as your general manager who's making the executive decisions that doesn't have to worry about a coach looking over his shoulder. So I do understand why Khan's not going to sit there and just reveal their strategy. He's probably going to do these interviews and go with what makes him feel comfortable about who you fire first. But I think we talked about it with the Gase podcast. You need people in lockstep. You need a general manager and a coach that are on the same page, that aren't going to get in a fight. You can't have a general manager picking the personnel and the coach being like, well, I didn't want this guy, but I have to play him because the GM made that decision. They got to be on the same page.
Correct. If you're doing a fresh reboot, you really need to consider doing the Seattle and or Buffalo route. And that's easier said than done. Like, find a great GM who works really well with a fantastic head coach. But that's what you need to do, is find the two who are working in congruity together. To put a bow on the Marone era in Jacksonville, as man, he was there for 4 years, as Shad Khan noted. He's only 56. You feel like he's older than that, but he's not. He was hired originally. It's kind of crazy. So he was hired originally. He left the head coaching position of the Buffalo Bills. He exercised an opt-out in his contract to bounce out of Buffalo, where he then went and took the offensive line coach position with the Jaguars. That's one of the weirdest, most undersold things in coaching history over the last 10 years, is that the guy who was running the Bills and had almost gotten the Bills, he got the Bills go 9-7. They just missed the playoffs in 2014. He then says deuces and goes to Jacksonville to be the offensive line coach. The following year in 2016, Gus Bradley was fired. After week 14, Doug Marone took over as the interim coach, went 1-1, and then was hired full time for the job that offseason. He promptly went 10-6 and took him to the AFC Championship game. But as everybody knows, the Jaguars collapsed against the Patriots in that game. And then they collapsed the last 3 years. They've won 12 games total with Blake Bortles' contract, you know, helping to sink the ship. You know, they passed on Deshaun Watson and took Leonard Fournette. They have traded away Jalen Ramsey. They have, traded away other high
Bryce Campbell, players. Yannick Ngakoue. There's all the, you know, like, but clearly these guys weren't happy with the structure there. Whether it was Tom Coughlin, they eventually got rid of Coughlin. So it was partly, you know, I feel like Marone is kind of a strict guy that some of these guys maybe weren't too excited about playing for.
Yeah, the reality is they ripped down the roster around him. He didn't have any chance of winning this year. You know, they don't have anything at quarterback, really. No offense to my boy Mike Glennon and Gardner Minshew. They went 1-15. They had the top pick. This is the cleanest of clean slates. For whoever might come next.
Would you say Marone was a successful hire because they had the AFC title game? Like, how would you grade his four seasons?
I don't think that Doug Marone caused the Jaguars to be terrible. Like, I think the Jaguars were going to do I think Doug Marone got them to overachieve in 2017. And they almost went to the Super Bowl. And their defense was good enough. Like, they could have won the Super Bowl.
I mean, they were one bad play call. The fumble that they returned for a touchdown, they got called not a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, one bad whistle by the refs in Foxborough. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that the fact that they did that, the problem is, for me, what ended up happening with that AFC title run, the title game run, is that, and it would have been Doug versus Doug, by the way. Philly versus
I can't believe we
missed two Dougs in or one Doug leaves.
That's Debo's fantasy Super Bowl.
I know. So the problem with that is that it felt like they then hung on to that too much. They're like, let's double down on this formula that probably isn't sustainable with, you know, Josh Allen. I mean, see Josh Allen, Blake Bortles. Obviously, he's not Josh Allen. Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette, and we invested heavily in the run game. And defense isn't sustainable like that from year to year. And there was all of a sudden a ton of attrition, whether it was trading some veterans or whether it was, you know, Telvin Smith leaving the team. And there was obvious infighting in the locker room in 2018 when they went 5-11. There were different competing, forces that caused, they didn't have the locker room chemistry. And so that's sort of all fallen apart the last 3 years. So, I don't know what the answer is. I think I would give Doug Marone like a C-.
Well, and the reason, part of the reason I asked that is because we were talking about Shad Khan and, you know, you're talking about how they haven't done a fantastic job as ownership, and they've kind of whiffed on all their coaching hires. They bought the team in 2011. That was when they got rid of Del Rio. You're out. Sorry, man. We're a new team. We want new blood. Hired Mike Mularkey, who they fired after one season. So that's a huge whiff. They hired Gus Bradley, who I don't think ever won more than 5-11.
He was the most enthusiastic human being I've ever met, and he was a terrible head coach.
And you do
good defensive coordinator.
But you need a lot of enthusiasm to coach Jacksonville with all the losing. But his best season was 5-11 in 4 years. And you have Marone, who has this, you know, AFC title game appearance. But other than that, they kind of fell flat on their face. So the Cons don't have a great history of hiring coaches, which makes this more interesting. Yes, yes.
And by the way, the Jaguars are now going to have the first overall pick for the first time in their franchise history, which is crazy. Like they've been so bad. They were never the worst team somehow. That's kind of wild. Yeah. I mean, I think that Doug Marone did a better job as a head coach than people give him credit for. And people don't want to like Doug Marone, but he's probably a pretty good head coach. He doesn't have a great sense for which jobs to take. You know, because taking the Bills job and then taking the Jaguars job, good luck with that. Like, if he'd waited around and took a better gig, maybe he wins some games. In that same coaching cycle, we have Anthony Lynn from 2017, Sean McVay, Sean McDermott, and Kyle Shanahan. So when you rate him against those guys, not so good.
Yeah, not even close. Since
wasn't Kyle Shanahan that same, or was Kyle Shanahan the year before?
2017. That was Shanahan's year.
Yeah. Okay.
That was Marone's first full year. He coached the interim games in 2016, but got hired prior to 2017.
Yeah. And that's when Kyle Shanahan got hired, right?
Was he? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come, yeah, that's right. When we come back, we will look at some possible candidates for the Jaguars head coaching job.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin. What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
All right, so Doug Marone out. Who will be in? The rumors are kind of everywhere. I mean, Urban Meyer is the big name that keeps getting popped up. I've heard various things about Urban Meyer, whether he would or would not actually end up, you know, coming to Jacksonville. Personally, I think it would be a mistake to give Urban the keys to everything. Depend on who he brings with GM with him, but like that is asking a lot. Like, I think that's a pretty big risk. Now, it's the polar opposite of Mike Mularkey, Gus Bradley, and Doug Marone. So maybe it is the move you should make. And maybe Shad Khan feels like, you know, ingesting some serious, you know, pizzazz in the coaching hire would be a good move. Urban obviously has won everywhere he's been. So, you know, I just feels like a bit of a reach to me. But I would understand how the Cons and the Jags could end up kind of talking themselves into it.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a report from JLC mentioned last week that Jacksonville's job came open, that Urban Meyer would be a name that they would consider. And then Ian Rappaport kind of doubled down on that and said, hey, look, this is going to be – Urban Meyer is going to have a shot at taking this job if he wants it. And – you know, I do feel like that's the Cons again saying, you know what we're doing is not working. Let's give this power to this guy who's had a lot of success in college. Let's see if he can turn this around, you know, cause I think, Rap Sheet also mentioned Ryan Day, the current Ohio State coach, which would make a fascinating dynamic.
I want Urban Meyer and Ryan Day to get hired just so they have to pick Trevor Lawrence over Justin Fields and then explain it to everybody.
That would be hilarious for, unless you're a Jacksonville fan, then it would be gut-wrenching because you don't know what's going on. But that's the perfect way to blow smoke screens the whole draft season, is they keep saying, well, we really like Justin. You know, Trevor had a great career, but we know Justin. We saw what Justin did to Clemson, you know, when these two teams played each other head-to-head. So there are a lot of options out there, and I won't be surprised at all if they go the college route. And then, you know, there's the names we've talked about with every single job that comes open. And I think one thing to keep in mind here is that this is a sexy job. I know that's maybe a weird thing to say about Jacksonville. You got your 11 draft picks this year. You have the number one overall pick. You have a ton of salary cap space, which is a huge advantage in a year where the salary cap's going to drop instead of going up. And then, you know, there's no state taxes in Florida. That's always a good thing. And so, you know, I think we'll hear the obvious names like Eric Bieniemy tossed around, Brian Daboll. So I think it's just going to depend if they want to go the college route or the pro route. But I do think they're going to have their pick of the litter. I have to think anybody who interviews for this job, you know, some guys just do it to kind of get interviewing experience, but maybe it's not the job they want. Or you're Josh McDaniels. You think you're going to take a job, then you back out the last second. I think this is going to be a hot job.
Yeah. Pete Prisco tweeted out a little while ago, the Jaguars job is a great one right now. Don't laugh. If you can't fix that team with all the draft capital, Trevor Lawrence in the cap room, then you are truly bad at your job. So I would like Pete to get a look at GM.
Pete getting a GM job would be, I mean, we'd have the inside info, right?
I know, he'd like stop talking to us. He'd be like the guy who started wearing like Armani suits and like wouldn't speak to us. Hey, how you doing? I guess I can't tell you who we're taking. What about, so you mentioned Brian Daboll and, Eric Bieniemy. I'd be really curious to know. See, to me, the idea that they hire some powerful or some GM who then picks up Bieniemy or Daboll, I don't love that idea, because I think at that point, you have a new head coach, you have a head coach who's doing his job for the first time, and he is trying to learn on the fly, and he is working for somebody who presumably has the con's ear. I think that there's a real chance that you could screw this up by creating competing interests between the coach and the GM. And I know that they're starting at the same spot, but it's so important just to be on the same page. I cannot stress this enough. You should hire a head coach who has a GM candidate in mind that he would want to work with. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch did this. It's okay that the head coach, you know, quote unquote, hires or approves of the GM. It doesn't have to be the GM hires the head coach and the head coach works for him. Cause at some point there's going to be a power struggle there where the head coach does really well and is attempting to sort of take power away, or where the head coach doesn't do well and the GM is attempting to take, you know, to distance himself from the head coach.
Blame to the, like, I'm putting the players, I'm giving him the players. He's not producing.
Like, you've never heard that with Pete Carroll and John Schneider, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. You know, even with like Andy Reid having success, you would see, you know, with John Dorsey, you saw some of that stuff, but ultimately they decided to go with Andy Reid, right? And you bring in Brett Veach. And so you have to make the right, to me, the move is to interview head coaches and ask them about prospective GM candidates that they've worked with before around the league who they would be interested in. And then not only do you get a better idea of what GMs might be good, but you can get an idea of, is this guy prepared to bring in a GM and a head, or, you know, a head coach, a GM, you know, depending on which side you decide to go with. By the way, Matt Eberflus is a name that is getting some buzz right now. The Jets and Texans have put in requests for him, and the Panthers have requested Colts assistant GM Ed Dodds for the GM job. So it'll be curious to see how quickly the Jaguars move here.
I will say real quick with Jacksonville's job, I think they go with an offensive-minded coach. Marone's an offensive line coach. He does not count. Gus Bradley was a defensive coach. They haven't had that, you know, whatever you can call it, Sean McVay type. They're going to go for an offensive mind would be my guess, because that's something they haven't done. And you're going to have the top pick in the draft, probably take Trevor Lawrence. You're going to want somebody who can kind of, you know, help him through his first couple of years.
That's your job. You got to come in and Trevor Lawrence has to be good. Like, if you screw up Trevor Lawrence, you're getting fired quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence stinks for the Jaguars, then the Jaguars are going to be like looking for a new coach in 2 years.
Yeah. So because of that, I think they're going to go the offensive route.
Yeah. Do we need to, I think the names that we mentioned are probably the same for just about every job. I mean, it's, I think Urban is the one name here that's a little bit different. And we heard like a Matt Campbell. Can you lure Matt Campbell to Jacksonville? I mean, you'd much rather have the Jaguars job than the Jets job, right?
Yes.
I think
so. And there's less, criticism from the media. It's not as crazy. Jacksonville's a lot more laid back than New York. If I'm a college coach, I would absolutely look at Jacksonville over the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, I think
a lot less pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. So Matt Campbell, if that's somebody that you want to come in and help and have build a program from scratch is a good option. I think, Bieniemy, Matt Eberflus, who we mentioned,
and Jim Harbaugh. The one time we talked about this job, I think this is the best fit for him. If he is thinking about coming back to the NFL at all, this job works the most. I know Wilson poo-pooed our idea the one time we brought it up, but look, he's been successful at the NFL level.
You're in three straight NFC championship games.
Like, why wouldn't you have, if you're an owner and you're not thinking about that fact, like, hey, look, this guy took a 49ers team that was left for dead. I mean, that team was a carcass when Jim Harbaugh took over in 2011. They hadn't been good for a while. And all of a sudden, like you just said, three straight NFC championship games. So if I'm in the spot that Jacksonville's in, I'm at least considering. I don't think it makes sense for most teams, but for Jacksonville, I do think it would make sense to at least talk to them.
Yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh is probably more highly regarded than people on Twitter think he is. If, yeah, you know, like in the sense that people are like, ah, Michigan sucks with Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he just can't beat Ohio State. Ohio State's friggin' awesome every year. Like, they're one of the three best teams in college football every single year. Okay. So, that's it, right? That's the show. We'll have more candidates as rumors start to pop up. We'll be talking about it on the show. Throughout the week, we'll have a recap show breaking down everything from Black Monday. So make sure and subscribe, rate, and review. For John Breach and Will Brinson, see you later.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.